Last week, I got on the phone with a girl who's been suffering from a mysterious medical problem.
I'm Kayla Johnson. I'm 17. I live in Sugarland, Texas.
Kayla's problems started last November.
All of a sudden, I started having a very small little neck tick.
A tick, a sudden jerking movement in her neck that Kayla couldn't control.
And over the course of about a week, those neck ticks became more frequent and more severe to the point where my ear was almost touching my shoulder. And my neck would be so sore, I could barely turn it from it happening constantly. Every 10 minutes, I'd have a like 2 minute just like spasm of my neck, like not being able to move.
These ticks started happening to Kayla all the time, at home, at school, in the car, in bed, and they were quickly getting worse.
It went from neck tick to I had my first full body tick that Friday, I think, or Thursday. It very quickly became more severe. For a while, I couldn't even go upstairs to my bedroom without like my parents being there because we didn't know what was going to happen.
How did you feel?
At a loss. I had no idea what was happening.
For many months, the doctors she went to weren't sure what was happening either.
We were bouncing between doctors, bouncing between every kind of doctor, and everyone was just like, I feel sympathy for you. This is horrible, but I have no idea what it is. This isn't really in my field. Go talk to this person. And that person will say, it's not in my field. Go talk to this person.
Eventually, in September, over 9 months after the tics first started, Kayla visited a doctor who specialized in movement disorders. And when this doctor looked at Kayla,
he said, I know exactly what this is. I've had 65 girls in the last year come in with the same things, with the same symptoms you're having, all starting around October, November of 2020.
Then the doctor told Kayla where he thought her tics were coming from. He believed they were linked to videos she'd watched from TikTok. Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Kate Linebaugh. It's Monday, November 8th. Coming up on the show, the sudden rise of tics in teen girls and why TikTok may be playing a role.
This episode is brought to you by Citizen M. There's no better feeling than finishing work for the day, sipping an ice-cold soda, and nuzzling down into a Citizen M bed. Recharge your brain and batteries at Citizen M hotels. They're in the tech cities, Menlo Park, Miami, Austin, New York, San Francisco, where people like you work, sleep, and play. Book now at citizenm.com/thejournal.
Over the last year, in the U.S. and in other parts of the world, there's been a sharp rise in the number of teen girls seeking medical help for new, unexplained tics. At Rush University Medical Center in Chicago, neurologist Caroline Olvera has witnessed this trend.
We would typically maybe see, one a month, let's say, but we were getting multiple a week. If you look at one a month versus multiple a week, that's still a big increase. So we were looking at, 30 plus girls that were coming in with this when we would only see 10 or so a year.
Tics are often associated with Tourette syndrome, a neurological disorder that causes people to make involuntary movements or sounds. But Caroline says these teens didn't look like typical Tourette patients. First, they were mostly girls, but Tourette syndrome is more common in boys. Second, the girls were in their late teens, and Tourette syndrome typically presents at a younger age. Plus, the tics themselves look different. Can you describe these movements for us?
They're very severe, very disruptive, causing a lot of issues for these girls. These girls cannot even talk to us while they're having these tics. So a lot of them were big kind of arm movements. There were flinging. There's a lot of shouting and cursing, which you do, I think, like, you know, a Tourette's patient that you see in movies, you often hear them swearing or you know, shouting things out. That's not very typical of a Tourette's patient, you know, but that's what we were seeing come into the clinic.
And initially, what did you think was happening?
We didn't know.
At first, Caroline and her colleagues wondered if the cases could be the result of stress related to the pandemic. Most of the patients had already been diagnosed with other mental health disorders, like depression or anxiety.
Every one of our neurological patients during the pandemic has not been doing well, and their conditions have been worsening. So I think initially maybe you were thinking, you know, it's like some pandemic stress like we're seeing in all these other disorders. But then TikTok started to be brought up by these girls.
The girls told Caroline they'd been watching a lot of TikTok videos of people with involuntary tics. Caroline wasn't on TikTok, but decided to set up an account so she could take a look at these videos. What she saw surprised her.
Looking at the videos, they looked like the girls that were coming in. Like, they were the same age, just like doing the same movements, the same vocalizations. They looked just so similar. It was very striking.
It was so striking that Caroline wanted to show the other doctors at her clinic what she was seeing. So at a team meeting, Caroline made a presentation and played a bunch of these videos for her colleagues. And how did your colleagues react?
They were like, this is crazy. And what we decided was, let's just like do a project watching all of these videos and see what we see and describe what we're seeing.
The doctors wanted to know whether there was some connection between these tic videos and their patients.
So I watched thousands of TikTok videos. So I had to actually, because at our hospital, they have the TikTok website blocked. Yes. They have like a lot of websites like that blocked so people at work, I guess, can't go on them. So I actually had to use my phone in a clinic, like in my little cubicle watching videos kind of all day long. And, you know, the hardest part was to try to find who is the most popular user or users that are putting out these videos, because my assumption would be if you're one of the most popular users, then people are more likely to be watching your videos, and these are the most popular movements or vocalizations that people are watching.
And Caroline found that some of the tics her patients had mimicked the tics she saw in the most popular videos.
In terms of like severity, the severity was a very striking one. There was some sounds that were similar. So a lot of them do like popping sounds or say meow, or the word beans is a very popular tic on TikTok.
Beans! Oh no! Beans. Beans, beans, beans.
And we were having girls come into our clinic saying that specifically. And so there was very kind of unique tics that we were seeing on TikTok that were also coming into our clinic.
And so you thought there was a connection between these videos and your patients.
There's a well-established phenomenon with tic disorders and Tourette's that you can develop the tics, or not tics necessarily, but the movements of someone else that you're seeing. So you basically echo their movements or you echo their vocalization. So there might be some element of that. And we know that that happens with Tourette's. In terms of watching TikTok and watching other people develop tics and then developing them yourself, I mean, I even felt like I was moving a little bit strangely after watching all of these videos, or moving my head a little bit or blinking. And I don't have a tic diagnosis. So it was even happening to me, and I'm not susceptible to that.
Our colleague Julie Jargon has been looking into why so many teens ended up watching these videos. She says it started with a community of people on TikTok talking about Tourette syndrome. They were trying to destigmatize the condition and raise awareness about it.
A lot of the videos are sort of lighthearted. They're videos of people baking, cooking, and showing how difficult it is to do some of those everyday tasks while having physical tics. So a lot of mayhem happening in the kitchen when people's arms are moving about in ways they can't control. A lot of messes being made and sort of an attempt to not make light of it, but to just show in a lighthearted way how difficult it can be to live with these kind of tics. There are other sort of challenges where people are trying to sing the alphabet, but they're blurting out words in the middle of it.
So let's start the ABC challenge. Anus. Oh, that again. B. Banana. 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 B. B.
As the pandemic drove more and more people onto TikTok, these videos started gaining traction.
So many young women during the pandemic that were at home with not much else to do were spending a lot of extra time on social media and on TikTok in particular. And they started seeing these videos. In some cases, people weren't searching for these videos. They were showing up on their For You page. And once they started watching one video, more and more videos like it came up.
And that's pretty standard for TikTok's algorithm.
That's right. It will just continue to show you videos that you've shown some interest in. You know, that if you watch a certain video for a certain period of time, more and more videos just like it will fill your feed.
Over time, these Tourette influencers gained millions of followers and got so popular that they were selling merchandise and publishing books.
At one point, some researchers in the UK noticed that videos containing the hashtag Tourette's had about 1.25 billion views. That was around January of 2021. And now that number is around 4.8 billion. So it's had a huge growth in the last several months.
One of those millions of people watching was that teen in Texas, Kayla Johnson. That's after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Workday. Get the whole band together with Workday and pair finance and HR on one platform for an epic performance. With Workday AI at the core, you'll make confident decisions faster than ever, and you'll drive flawless business and finance operations with an agile platform that constantly evolves to future-proof your organization. Be a finance and HR rockstar with Workday. Visit workday.com to learn more.
About a year ago, when Kayla was stuck at home because of the pandemic, she went on YouTube to look for homework tips for people like her who have ADHD. And she started watching compilations of TikTok videos.
And videos and videos and videos would pop up, and I'd watch them all.
So you were watching YouTube videos that were kind of smashed together TikTok videos?
Yes.
How much time were you spending watching these videos?
You know, it's hard to say because it was during the pandemic when I was stuck at home for a long time. Probably a couple hours a day and an hour to a couple hours a day. Yeah, so because I was watching them through YouTube, the compilation would specifically be 30 minutes, 40 minutes, and I'd go from one to the next. So I'd get these videos as people trying to spread awareness about ADHD and saying, hey, sometimes people with ADHD can experience this. Sometimes people with ADHD can experience this. And sometimes people with ADHD can experience tics. Little nervous tics, and they would display some of them, what those might look like. And I went through a time where I watched several things about Tourette's. Like, I went through, I don't know how long, probably maybe a few weeks, a month, something, just learning a lot about Tourette's, listening to people's experiences, watching videos of people with Tourette's.
Not long after she'd been watching these TikTok video compilations, Kayla says her own tics started. But it would be many months before she finally understood that her tics were linked to the videos she watched, which she says is ironic because she'd been trying to stay off of social media.
I actually have never had any social media beyond like Pinterest and like YouTube. I've always been very careful about my private image And I know kind of about how social media can affect your view on yourself sometimes. And I've got enough anxiety and issues on my own to deal with without that adding on to it. So I never wanted to get involved in Instagram or anything like that. And at the time that my tick started, I actually still was not technically on TikTok. I didn't have the app on my phone.
When our colleague Julie asked TikTok for comment, the company said more research is necessary to understand the tick phenomenon and that it's consulting with experts. The company also said it's proud to be a platform where people with Tourette syndrome can fight stigma and express themselves.
Does the company have any responsibility?
I mean, there's a lot of pressure coming from Congress right now on tech companies to have responsibility for the content on their platforms, especially when it's user-generated content. I think that's a question that's being worked out right now.
But it's a tough one, too, because it's content that was on the platform to help destigmatize disease.
Yeah, I mean, this is a tricky one because it's not something that maybe outright violates terms of service. It's not violent. It's not, you know, it's no one's trying to harm anyone with this content. In fact, you know, you could argue that the motivations of many people producing these videos was altruistic. How do you then police that, and what responsibility do you have if there are unintended consequences of this particular content?
But perhaps it's not. Perhaps the responsibility isn't on the content, but it's on the serving of the content, on the algorithm that continues to put tick videos in front of users. And that is where a company like TikTok could turn down that algorithm and just limit the spread of such videos.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I think, like, some of the doctors who told me that their patients said they weren't searching for this. It was just on there. It was on their For You page. Maybe it's because they clicked on something related. You know, I don't know exactly how their algorithm works and how it decides exactly what content to serve to whom. But there were clearly kids that weren't trying to find this and found it, and finding a lot of it.
As for Kayla, she says she's been doing better lately. Getting in front of the right specialist was a turning point for her. She was diagnosed with a condition called functional neurological disorder, the same diagnosis that many of these teens have received. And having a diagnosis helped her take control of her tics.
Before the diagnosis, it'd be easier to count the number of times I wasn't ticking than the number of times I was during the day. My tics would come in waves, and so I'd go through like what I call like tic attacks, where I'd have like back-to-back tics. And those I was able to stop, like almost immediately after my diagnosis, I was able to get control over those. I would have one tic, and then I'd be able to tell myself and say, you can control this, stop, and then I wouldn't have those attacks anymore. And now I'm able to get in the car. My mom says, how was your day? What were your tics like today? And I'm able to say that I had, last week, I was saying I had fewer than 10 tics today. This week, I've been able to say that I've had like 2 or 3 tics today.
Caroline, the neurologist in Chicago, says that she's seeing the same thing at her clinic. A diagnosis has helped some teens get their tics under control. And overall, Caroline says cases at her clinic are starting to decline.
They're getting better, and it's only been, you know, a year or less than a year. We're just seeing them get better on their own, even without having any medications for tics. And we're not seeing this influx come in to the clinic anymore like we were seeing. It's actually tapered off to a great degree.
It's interesting that you say this phenomenon is tapering off. Do you have any understanding of that?
I don't know. If you think about it, like, it does kind of correlate with the pandemic getting a bit better in terms of our COVID numbers getting better, because it really did start getting a bit better in the summer. But you also see with these other examples of this kind of mass sociogenic illness happening in the past, It happens for a couple of weeks, a couple of months, and then it goes away. So it's very kind of poorly understood. For this specific instance, I think it might have to do with the pandemic.
How has this experience changed the way you use and think about social media?
I mean, like I said before, I already didn't have any kind of social media. It took me a long time to even get the TikTok app because I already knew that, you know, social media can affect the way that you think about yourself and your self-image or your self-worth or your body image. I already knew that. I already knew that social media can have a negative effect on you mentally. I never knew that it can have a negative effect on you physically. I've realized just how much social media can change your life and that things can spread very quickly. And there's really no way to know how or what is spreading, you know? And so you have to be very careful with what you consume.
That's all for today, Monday, November 8th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. If you like our show, follow us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. We're out every weekday afternoon. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.